He thought he had me when I was sick. He thought he had me when I was bound. He thought he had me when I was in a dark place. He thought he had me when I was running scared. But that's when somebody greater stepped into my situation. I wish I had a church in here. Look at your neighbor and say, he done turned some stuff around in my life. God has brought me a mighty, mighty, mighty long way. Can I have a little bit of church in here? I've had a week from hell, but God has turned some stuff around already. I wish I had a church this morning in my life. I want you to go with me to the book of 1 John, the 4th chapter. 1 John, the 4th chapter. Hallelujah. The devil thought he had me. I can't get that out of my spirit. Thought he had me. Oh God, I feel an anointing. Come on, wake your spirit up this morning. He thought it was over. He thought he caused stuff to fall apart, but it was falling into place. He thought he had me. Sounds strange to people and not intelligent when you say I'm laughing at the devil, you know, because I get it that not everybody gets it. As a Christian, you know, we name our enemy. We don't just call it evil. He has a name. He's the accuser of the brethren. He fell from heaven like lightning. He roams around as a roaring lion because all he can do is imitate. He can't create. And he thought he had me, but he didn't understand the perfected love of God. 1 John, the 4th chapter, and the Bible says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I want to preach right there. Perfect love cast out fear. We love him because he first loved us. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intent. For the word of God is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit so that it might discern the intentions of our heart. Father, speak such a word to us today that it changes everything, that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, that it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word. Anoint our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing today is that you have your way. God, do whatever it is you want to do. For this is your house, and we are your people. And we'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. You agree? Shout amen. Can you turn to your neighbor real quick? Smile as bright as you can. Come on. Show them everything God has blessed you with. And say, today you learn how to cast out fear. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. 1 John, in your own time, I would encourage you. If you give me 15 minutes, I promise I'll bless you. 1 John, I would encourage you to read because it is, if you will, one of the most maturing scriptures in the Bible. And the reason it causes one to grow is because it identifies the place where we are empowered. It gives us the insight as to how God empowered us as believers. And the reason why you have to understand the entire context of it is because 1 John opens up by declaring that, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because there are many that will come that will be false. And they have gone, the Bible says, out into the world. But this you know, the Spirit of God. In other words, he says, every spirit that confessed that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. It's simple. And so basically what John was trying to forewarn the believers of was that there is going to be difficulty in your walk with God. And in this difficulty, you're going to have to learn the genuine from the fake. And this is why you have to understand that God made you in such a capacity that he made you fearfully and wonderfully. In other words, you have to begin to... There we go. God made something absolutely genuine. And when he made something so genuine, such as yourself, he did not make that blushing. In other words, he is not shocked when you do what you do. God is not taken back when you have your struggle. He is not taken back when you have your moments of trying to build the character of Christ on the inside of you. And the good that you know to do, that you don't do. And he understands that there is this war within your members between your soul and your spirit, and that your soul is trying to override the regenerated spirit on the inside of you. And that at times, because life is busy, you don't get the opportunity to always renew your mind to the things of God. And so every now and then you lose your mind. Am I preaching to anybody in here? And so you have moments of mental lapses where you forget, yes, 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 forget the goodness of God and forget the faithfulness of God and forget, more importantly, the love of God. And this is why I love the Bible, because it tells us that we should have this boldness in the day of judgment. He didn't say you're going to come to God in fear and shivering and in shame. He says, no, you're going to have a boldness in the day of judgment. And the reason you're going to have this boldness is because it is the holy boldness of God that gives you the capacity and allows you to have the audacity to face all of your fears and determine that you're going to rise in spite of. It is that boldness that allows you to see the errors that are in your life and the ability to confront those errors without being ashamed. It is that boldness that allows you to get up and go to the house of God when everything is falling apart in your life seemingly, but you have a yet shall I praise the Lord. Am I talking to anybody in the room? See, everybody in here don't have it all together. Despite what you might believe, they look good. They look the part. They look like church. But there's some stuff in their life that they're dealing with and wrestling with. And it is holy boldness that allows you to come to the house of God to say, I don't have it all together, but I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Slap your neighbor high five and say, do you got a Job praise this morning? If you don't know what a Job praise is, it's a praise that says, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. There's some difficulties I don't understand. There's some difficulties that I'm wrestling with. There's some things that I don't have answers to, but I'm here anyhow. I ain't got no church this morning. I don't praise God because he fixes everything. I praise God because he's worthy of my praise. I don't praise God because he removes every hardship from my life. I praise God because he promised he'll never leave me nor forsake me, and he'll be with me through it all. I don't praise God because I never enter into a valley. I praise God because though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm going to face everything, baby, and rise. And the way I face it is with holy boldness. Slap your neighbor and say, get some holy boldness about you. Ah, God, stop walking around with this timidity that life is about to take you out. You got to wake up and realize, honey, you've taken some hits, but you are still here. And because you're still here, the devil has been served notice that he did not have you, that he did not rob you of the life that God has afforded to you on the cross, that he did not rob you of your future, that he did not rob you of your potential, that he did not rob you of your purpose. I wish I had a church in here. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, the devil thought he had me, but God showed up and turned some stuff around in my life. And if you're glad he began to turn stuff around in your life, throw your head back and shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. Every time you praise God, despite your circumstances, it's like giving a black eye to the devil. Every time you lift your voice and say, I'll give you glory anyhow, it gives a black eye to the devil. Y'all sit down and let me preach this thing. What our adversary doesn't get, and oftentimes what we fail to understand, is how God truly empowers the believer. It's not based upon your strength that he empowers you. I'm going to get somewhere with this thing. And so God is not just the God of my strength. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it's when I'm weak, I'm strong. So
as I search the scripture, I begin to find out that God is not so much interested in my strengths as he is interested in my weakness. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all shout. Because if he was interested in my strength, he wouldn't say stuff like, my grace is sufficient for you. If he was interested in my ability to intellectually handle all the pressures of life, he wouldn't quote stuff that suggests he's put me in a secret place. For the Bible says in Psalms 91, he that dwells in secret place of God abides under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and he is my strength. It goes on to say that I can be in the middle of an upheaval, but 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, and none of it come nigh me. It says, I don't have to be afraid of the arrows that fly by day. I feel like preaching to somebody. Or for the stuff that come by the nighttime. Look at your neighbor and say, I got nothing to fear. Why? Because the Lord is my shelter and my safe haven. I love the Bible because it says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and be safe. So when I thought I was going to lose my mind, I could call on the name of Jesus, and I know every slap your name and say, I think I need to call on the name of Jesus. Ah, God, because when I call on the name of Jesus, it's a name above every name that is named. When I call on the name of Jesus, all of hell trembles. When I call on the name of y'all sit down, let me preach this thing. I look at scripture and I find out that God is not interested as much in my strength as he is interested in my struggle. So he's not the God of my strength. He's the God of my struggle. I want to talk right there. Because in the body of Christ, we like to come almost with uniformity and show off our strength. We don't like to come to church and show that we got a struggle. When we come to the house of God, we want to come suited and booted. Y'all ain't said nothing. Church hat on. Come on. Laced up. Come on. Dressed to the nines to try to let everybody know we got everything under control. When you know all hell is breaking loose in your house, on your job, in your family, in your mind, you just made it into the house of God this morning. And if the truth be told, you really, 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 really need God to show up at this hour in your life. I'm preaching to somebody and y'all not here. Slap your name and say, you know you need him. You know you do. You know you do. I got it. And when we realize how God empowered us, we realize that he empowered us by not simply being the God of our strength, but the God of our struggle. And in being the God of our struggle, we realize how safe God is. You don't hear what I'm saying. You think God is a risk to you. Oh, yeah. People today think serving God is a risk. This is why John said, you got to test every spirit. You got to figure out who is of God, who's not of God. You got to try the thing. You got to understand it, because you'll realize that when you understand the genuine authenticity of a spirit of God, it will allow you to be loved no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, whether you're up, whether you're down, come on, whether you're sane, whether you're crazy. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting in here. When you realize the love of God, you'll realize that it is that love that was perfected. And in that perfected love, there's no need to fear. There's no need to feel insecure because you are secured by His grace. You don't fear punishment or judgment of God because you realize how safe He is. And when you realize how safe He is, you don't mind Him working on the weak parts of your life. You don't mind Him getting into the middle of your struggle and saying, I love you anyway. You don't mind sharing your testimony with somebody because you realize you overcome the adversary by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Slap your neighbor and say, I need God to get in the middle of my struggle. Yes, I do. I need God to step right in the middle of my struggle. Because without wanting God to step in the middle of your struggle, this is how the enemy preys on your emotions and causes anxiety and depression and that spirit of oppression, and it brings torment into your life. There is a healthy fear in the Bible, and the only thing that you ought to fear is God. For the Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That fear is a reverential awe, that when you look at God, you are awe-inspired. It's not a fear that God is going to punish you, but it's a fear that, God, you're so awesome, I'm afraid not to believe you because I've seen what you can do in the affairs of men. And so I'm scared to step out on my own terms. I gotta trust the Lord and lean not on my own understanding, and all my ways acknowledge Him. We're gonna get there. Not yet. Not yet. We're gonna get there. We're gonna get there. So the Bible lets us know there is a fear that is healthy for the believer. And that fear is the foundation of a right perspective because it allows you to understand how safe God is. Proverbs 1:7, as I just quoted to you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Knowledge, as used here, is more than an accumulation of information. You heard me say you'll consult Google first before you consult God. It involves the ability to view that information with the right perspective and to use it for its proper end. In other words, Paul gave an example when he spoke of such knowledge. He said in 1 Corinthians 8:1 that knowledge is puffed up. In other words, he said it's a knowledge that leads, my God, if you will, to godliness if you allow it to. When you have a reverential fear of God, which folk do not have today, you give yourself a check in your spirit the moment the spirit of error begins to enter into your life. My God, in other words, you see the red light that you're about to run and you slam on your brakes. Y'all ain't said nothing. Not because you're going to get punished, simply because, God, you've brought me too far, my God, for me to just lose it now. So I'm going to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Slap your neighbor and say, do you still have any fight left in you? Ah, God, what the enemy wants you to do is be so insecure by your fear that you'll sit back and do nothing. But the Bible says He'll teach my hands to war if He have to. He'll show me how to fight this fight. And the best way I can fight the enemy is by showing up when I'm not supposed to show up and give God glory when I'm not supposed to give God glory and pray when I'm not supposed to pray. I ain't got no church in here. Slap your neighbor and say, I still got a fight down in my spirit. Oh God, I feel an anointing in here. If you got a fight down in your spirit, shout now. Hallelujah. So, what the enemy wants to do then is cause you to feel isolated to the point where you do nothing. And when you do nothing, it allows you to stay in the middle of your struggle without calling out to the Father or seeking God. And when you begin to do that, God becomes, if you will, a risk to you because you fear that if He knows this about you, He will not accept you. Beloved, I have to tell you that that is not the God that we serve. He knows the end from the beginning. He's omniscient, and you have to remember he's omnipresent. And even though he's omnipresent, meaning he is everywhere, it doesn't mean he's in everything. And so you have to be amazed that he chose to dwell on the inside of you. You didn't hear what I just said. Because he's omnipresent doesn't mean he's in everything. Y'all ain't said nothing, but he chose to invest in your life. And because he invested in your life, he is not shook by your struggle. I'm preaching better than somebody shouting in here. Slap your name and say, God ain't shook by my struggle. No, he ain't. No, he ain't. No, he ain't. I'm about to walk all up and down your street. He wasn't shook when you chose not to seek him and rather drink instead. He wasn't shook when you were feeling so alone, you opened your old black book and called somebody. He wasn't shook. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. I'm coming down your lane. Don't worry about it. When you went to see your old friends and decided to take a hit of the weed just for old time's sake. He was not shook when you cursed the person out because you lost your temper. He was not shook when you start leaning on your own ability and said, I'm going to try my way for a while. He was not shook. I'm coming down your street when you decided to leave your house and said, I'm never going back again. He was not shook when you threw in the towel and said, you know what? I tried this God thing, but it ain't working out. Slap your name and say, he ain't shook. He ain't shook. Nobody shout now. He wasn't shook when he saw you in your lowest state. As a matter of fact, he was so unshook that he dispatched at that very moment heavenly angels to encamp themselves round about you and sent a notice to the devil, you can't kill him. Can I preach to somebody in here? When you lost your mind, he told the devil, you can't take them out because I'm going to bring them through this. And when they come through this, they're going to be stronger than they ever was before. Slap your name and say, I made it through, baby. Therefore, I'm stronger than I ever was before. I feel a Holy Ghost strength coming down into my spirit at this very moment. Somebody shout, yeah! Slap your neighbor and say, he wasn't shook. And he dispatched angels for my heavenly protection. Here's why God wasn't shook. Proverbs 1:11 says, the Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. In other words, honest is the best policy. God doesn't like liars. Look at your name and say, you ain't got to lie, Craig. You ain't got to, I know that name ain't Craig, but just you don't understand what I'm talking about. Just look and say, you ain't got to lie, boo. You ain't got to lie. Come before the Lord with boldness. Come into his presence with singing. I know you're hurting, but enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I know you're not right, but come anyway. You've taken the trick and the deceit of the world to say you are a hypocrite because you have a struggle. No, I'm a son. Therefore, I will have a struggle. You didn't hear what I just said. Slap your name and say, I'm supposed to have a struggle. Because my spirit was regenerated by the Holy Spirit. But I still got this database of stuff in my mind that crushes me at times. Memories and incidences and habits. And am I preaching to anybody in here? So watch this. He wasn't shook because God doesn't like liars. He says honesty is the best policy. I understand what you're going through. And that's why Proverbs says better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. In other words, I'd rather have my struggle. Y'all ain't said nothing here. Didn't look like everything is going well in my life. But I'm in total turmoil all by myself, and I'm being tormented day and night in secret. The devil is a liar. That is not the definition of true freedom. I want, when God blesses me, that I can step into that blessing with a clear conscience without having any secrets in the closet. I wish I had somebody. Y'all ain't in here with me. I gotta hurry up. Watch this now. So here's why I got to give this to you, and then we'll close. Here's why God wasn't shook. I'm just going to give you this one thing. Here's why he wasn't shook. Psalms 31, 19. Get that on the screen for me, because I want everybody to read it. You got to get this right here. He's not just the God of my strength. He's the God of my struggle. And in being the God of my struggle, he's not shook when I'm struggling. As a matter of fact, Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. Paul said, I glory when I start struggling, because I know something. I know God is doing something on the inside that's going to make me so strong on the outside. That when people see me, they see the real thing, baby. I glory in my infirmities, because when I make it through it, come on, somebody. The enemy gonna have to come up with a new trick, baby. Because I've been there and I've done that. I've been broke before. I've been, y'all ain't said nothing. I've been fearful before. I've been depressed already. But God done set me free from that. When you realize God is the God of your struggle, you'll realize how safe God is. And when you realize how safe God is, you won't mind fearing him. And the reason you won't mind having a reverential awe and respect for God is because you'll understand that he makes all things work together for your good. I was reading that scripture and I said, God, how do you make all things work together? And he took me to the scripture of Psalms 31. He says, son, you missed this right here. I want to show you something. I said, all right. And the Bible says, oh, how great is your goodness, what you have laid up for those who fear you, what you have prepared for those who trust you in the presence of the sons of men. In other words, you can't just read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. God says, I'm not shook because I'm a good father, and I know what I have in store for my children. In other words, Psalms 31 is a spiritual trust fund that God has been investing in for your life. He says, my goodness, my God, is storing up stuff for those who fear me. In other words, while you're struggling, God is saying, I'm storing up all of the blessings I have for you on the other side of your struggle. Because what the enemy wants is for you to give up in the midst of your struggle. But I know you're going to make it out. And when you make it out, I got something good stored up for you. Slap your neighbor and say, God's got something good stored up for me. What? He's been investing in my future on the other side of my struggle. So when I get honest with my struggle, I'm preaching better than y'all shout. And I'm able to communicate my trust to God in the presence of other people. Look at your neighbor and say, I ain't scared of you no more. Your opinion will not affect my future, because I've seen what God has done in my life. I don't care what you think about. Somebody is about to get set free from the opinions of others. Y'all got to turn my mic up just a little bit, man. I'm dying. I know something wrong, but just turn me up a little bit. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. When I can learn how to trust God in the middle of my struggle, I will no longer have to be fake. Because fake is expensive. Tweet that. Fake has to be replaced. Fake has to be maintained. But when you got the real deal, it grows all by itself. Slap your name and say, you're looking at a real testimony. You're looking at a real miracle. You're looking at a real praise. You're looking at a real breakthrough. You're looking at a real wonder. You're looking at a real individual with a struggle. But yet shall I praise the Lord. Is there anybody in here ready for a real God to show up in a real life and say, I give you glory? I'm feeling anointing of the Woo! Watch this. Watch this. When you are real, I'm done. When you are real with God, he says, I store up good things for you. And I'll hold it until you're ready. And I won't let anything happen to it until you're ready to trust me in the presence of the sons of men. So John comes along and gives us the instruction and says, listen, you got to test the spirit. These folk are fake. They out here telling you can live any old kind of way. I'm preaching about it, y'all shouting. They're telling you that serving God is just all about grace, and this grace is so passive. And I'm preaching about it, y'all shouting now. And that you don't actually have to try and do it God's way. And then they play on your emotion, huh? By promising you something that God has already given you for your seed offering. I'm preaching better than y'all are sure. He's already given me peace. He's already given me joy. And watch me now. And here's that spirit of error. Here it is. When you hear people say, I just want to be happy. It's a popular song. I'm not against the song at all. I'm not against the song. It's a nice song. Catchy melody. Just want to be happy. Kirk Franklin. Yeah, right? It's wonderful. God bless Kirk. I'm not there. Here's the problem. That's not one scripture. It's not one scripture. For you to be happy, something has to happen. Happiness is the result of something happening to you. So when it doesn't happen, then what are you? So God didn't show up when you want him to, now you're not happy. It didn't go the way you want it, now you're not happy. Happiness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. I don't want to be happy. I want the joy of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm shouting and preaching better than you. Slap your neighbor and say, I don't want happiness. I want joy. And this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. So the world can't lose my job. Still got joy. Get sick, still got joy. I'm preaching better than y'all. Show. Slap your neighbor and say, I still got joy, baby. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Woo! I got to walk that off right quick. Slap your name and say, I still got joy. Jesus joy. Joy of the Holy Ghost. Y'all ain't said nothing. So, God gave us a package in our spirit. It's called love, joy, peace, goodness, temperance, faith, meekness. These are the fruits of the spirit. And happiness is not a fruit. So I'm not seeking happiness. I'm seeking joy. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And when I seek joy, I don't spend time trying to cast fear out of my life. There's not one miracle that involves casting fear out of anybody. Not one story, not one parable, not one scripture that you can find in the Bible that says Jesus showed up and cast fear out of somebody. He cast out unclean spirit. Y'all ain't said nothing. But he never cast out fear. Why? Because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. I don't have to cast fear out. Perfect love cast out all fear. When I find out how much God loves me, I say, what am I afraid of? When I find out he's the God of my struggle, I look around and say, I can face everything and rise. When I find out that he knows how crazy I am, how broken I am, and yet and still chooses to love me. It is that knowledge that then drives fear out of my life. Because he loved us. I can now love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need you to grab your neighbor by the hand real quick. Just real quick, just one hand. You ain't got to do it. You ain't got to do it all over the place. Shake it a little bit. And say, you're going to have to excuse me. I just found out how much God really loves me. So I'm about to lose it for a few seconds. I'm going to try that again. You missed your moment. Y'all missed your moment. I'm going to try that one more again. Shake your neighbor's hand a little bit and say, excuse me, but I'm about to lose it for a second with a praise because I just found out how much God really loves me. And because he loves me, he gave me joy. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. You ought to take the next 30 seconds and lose your mind. And give God glory. Ah, hallelujah. This joy that I have, you didn't give it to me, baby. And you can't take it away. Let's get out of here. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you might not want to praise him right now, but I got to give him glory for another 30 seconds because you don't know like I know Where can I feel an anointing? You don't know like I know what God has done for me. And if you knew like I knew, you would lose your mind at this very moment. If you've been through what I've been through, you would praise God like I'm praising God. Hallelujah. I'm just looking for somebody that know God done turned some stuff around in your life. Come on, let's have some church in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Perfected love. Cast out all fear. God loves you and all of your struggle. He loves you and all of your mess. And he will never give up on you. No, somebody needs to hear that. He will never give up on you. Even when you wanted to give up on yourself, he will not give up on you. He'll send people down your pathway. I'm talking to somebody. I am prophesying at this moment. He'll send people to keep you in your right mind. He'll send people to position you to help open doors. I hear the Lord saying he's sending people to help open a door that's been shut to you for a very long time. Can I prophesy to somebody in here? Come on, somebody, look at your name and say, he ain't quit on me. Come on. He hasn't quit on the vision he gave you. He hasn't quit on the business plan he gave you. He hasn't quit on the idea you got in the midnight hour, and God is about to open a door for you. You better let the enemy know you thought you had me, but God showed up and was greater and stronger than my struggle. And so I will bless the name of the Lord. Right now, in this place, in this atmosphere, if you're under the sound of my voice, throw your head back, give God glory. Somebody lift up the name of Jesus in here. Lift those hands all over the room. You've been in a struggle, mental struggle, physical struggle, financial struggle, relationship struggle. And God says, I'm the God of your struggle. I'll jump right in the situation. Been in a mental health struggle, battling schizophrenia, bipolar. The Spirit of God is about to come right now. Wrap his arms around you right now. I don't know who I'm talking to. Right now. You're clinically depressed. The peace of God that passes all understanding. It's guarding your heart and mind. No matter what your struggle, I hear you, Lord. Addiction struggles. You're addicted. Pornography struggles. I cast that unclean spirit out right now in the name of Jesus. I didn't come to play with the devil. Whatever your struggle is, there's no shame in your struggle. But today you get set free by the power of God. Today you get set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. I come against every unclean spirit in the name of Jesus. And I say today is your last day of tormenting these individuals. Go now in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout right now. Hallelujah. Lift those hands all over the room. Yeah. There's a spiritual breakout right now. There is a spiritual breakout right now. Whatever your struggle, God says, I'm storing up something good for you. And by the time, oh God, hear me. By the time we dismiss, I know I'm over my time, but soon as I give this benediction, I just heard the Lord say, I'm releasing what I have been storing up. Oh, you better hear me. I'm releasing what I have been storing up. So when I give this benediction, I hear your Holy Ghost. You're going to step out of a struggle and you're going to step into something good. I feel like running. I said you're going to step out of a struggle and you're going to step into something good. Lift those hands. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you. Give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with his shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. High five two or three people and say, you're stepping out of a struggle and you're stepping into something good. God bless you. We love you. Hope to see you at 4 o'clock.